This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
It's called protein degradation. And if you're a bad protein in a cancer cell, you'd better get your affairs in order. Because now, thanks to Dana-Farber's foundational work, protein degradation can target cancer-causing proteins and destroy them right inside the cell. This take-no-prisoners approach is making a difference in multiple myeloma and other blood cancers, and is how Dana-Farber is working to treat previously untreatable cancers. Learn more at DanaFarber.org/everywhere.
What the new Google privacy policy you probably won't read means for you.
Don't miss the numbers, the news, and Kai's final note. Subscribe to the Marketplace podcast. Find it on iTunes or online at marketplace.org/podcasts.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. Good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson. If you're like most people, you probably haven't actually taken the time to read the details of Google's new privacy policy. Well, it goes into effect tomorrow, and it'll mean that as you search the web or check your Gmail account or watch a video on YouTube, it'll be a whole lot easier for Google to keep track of you. Sabri Benishour explains.
Actually, I'll let Chris Gaither explain it. He's a spokesperson for Google.
Let's say that you do a lot of searches on Google for recipes. Next time you go to YouTube while you're signed into the same Google account, you might see some recommendations to subscribe to a YouTube cooking channel, for example.
By combining the data it picks up on its various sites into one profile, it'll be easier for Google to target ads to you. David Jacobs is with the Electronic Privacy Information Center.
The overarching problem is the loss of control for users. You can't really opt out.
But do users know this? Have they even read the policy?
People didn't read these privacy policies before, and they're not likely to read them now.
Ryan Kahlo is privacy director at the Stanford Center for Internet and Society. But some people do read them. More than 30 attorneys general have sent Google a letter complaining about the policy. I'm Sabri Benishour for Marketplace.
Now to another online company making changes. Starting today, Netflix is ending its deal with the movie channel Starz. That means the more than 1,000 movies Starz offers, from Teen Wolf to Toy Story 3, won't be available on Netflix. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer joins us now live to talk about the broader implications of this. Good morning, Nancy.
Hey, Jeremy.
So if I'm not a big fan of Teen Wolf, why do I care about this?
Yeah, I'm not either. Jeremy, it is important, though, because Starz was providing new release movies to Netflix. Most people think access to the big-name Hollywood blockbusters is key to Netflix's success, but turns out that's actually not the case. Netflix customers weren't watching that many movies from Starz. Mm. Anyway, Ken Doctor is a media analyst for Outsell and Newsonomics, and he says more than half of what people are streaming from Netflix are TV shows, and Netflix has a big TV library.
And so they have been bulking up on TV shows that people like. So they're in a race to replace as much of those movies as they can. At the same time, they'll continue to negotiate with the movie studios.
So, Nancy, is the future of these streaming video companies like Netflix more TV than film?
Yeah, they're actually going to follow the HBO model. HBO, of course, has been successful by creating its own TV shows, which it can control. So there's no wrangling with Hollywood over access to and payment for movies. And Netflix already has one original series. It's called Little Hammer. And we'll see how it does.
And I've heard that they are going to bring back Arrested Development, which is very exciting for me. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer, thanks a lot.
You're welcome.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are mostly higher in overseas trading this morning, up more than 1% in Frankfurt after a new round of loans from the European Central Bank to about 800 banks across Europe to ease the debt crisis. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow jumped 23 points to close at 13,005. That is the first close above 13,000 since 2008.
Show Marketplace how much you like us. Stay connected to our hosts, reporters, and top stories on Facebook. Find us at facebook.com/APM Marketplace.
So, do you consider yourself middle class? Well, the definition of that term is what we'll explore now as we launch our new Wealth and Poverty Desk.
The American dream is shaking right now.
Top 1%.
I think we're very blessed to have what we have.
The 99%.
I've never been one to look for a handout.
It used to be that middle class meant doing well, realizing the American dream. Well, as Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman reports, it is more complicated now.
A lot of Americans think of themselves as middle class. My family does. We arrived more than a century ago in Philadelphia with the proverbial clothes on our backs, delivered bread, and sewed men's suits. A couple generations later, we were teachers, accountants, and cardiologists. I dialed up my first cousin, Marcy Tanter. She teaches English at a state college near Fort Worth, Texas. Are you middle class?
Yes, and I think for the most part our family is. Pretty much everybody's got a college education. Everybody has jobs. We travel. We have computers and iPads and iPods and cars.
We're lucky to be in the upper middle class sweet spot with incomes in the top 25%. We'll be able to help our kids with SAT classes, college costs, or a first home. Some of our relatives haven't made out as well. They didn't go to college and have worked in real estate, construction, waitressing, selling auto parts. In the Great Recession, a few have lost homes or gone bankrupt. Welcome to America's struggling middle, says University of Wisconsin economist Timothy Smeeding. It's people making around the median income, $50,000 a year.
And this group is still middle class, but 10 years ago, they were behind the white picket fence, and they had a nice house and steady jobs, and their kids would do better than they would. And now they're finding a lot of that crumbling.
Smeeding says with the increased computerization of manufacturing and secretarial work, people with less education have limited long-term prospects.
What's left to them are personal services. Cashiers, sales clerks, lawns, food preparation, those jobs don't pay a lot of money. So the traditional avenues to the middle class are gone. At the same time, people with higher education, particularly postgraduate degrees, are doing really well.
So what's the middle class? Well, there isn't just one. There are two, and they're pulling apart. Get higher education or technical training, chances are you'll do pretty well. Miss out on post-high school education, end up working jobs that require few advanced skills, and you could find your family squeezed out of the middle class altogether. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
And finally to Virginia, where two former governors are running for U.S. Senate, and so is a cat named Hank. Hank the Cat's website says he wants to bring milk to every bowl across this great nation. He's quoted as saying, "If I had to sum up my feelings for Virginia's future, I would have to say..." In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
"What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?"
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.